year with a mixture of mainly jazz, but also blues, folk, some pop, even retro pop, and the occasional interview. So that's Dark Glasses, Mondays at 2 p.m.
Farfield is your Monday night show for ambient and modern classical music. Studying, at work, or just want to chill, tune into the Farfield Monday nights for stuff that's new, interesting, and relaxing. Mondays at 9 on CFRC 101.9.
Folks, hello and welcome to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. As always, I'm Dean.
I'm Megan.
And we just heard some new Kelly McMichael that was open hurts to have a heart in the parentheses there. How do you feel about the parentheses song, the double-titled song?
I don't like it at all, but I'm not, you know, shading Kelly here. I just feel like either make the parentheses thing the name of the song, or just commit.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what, the title has nothing to do with the lyrics.
I agree.
Like, the Pina Colada song should just be called the Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion. I don't even know what is it called.
I think,
Is
it Paradise?
No.
Or something?
What?
I think it's called Paradise.
I'll get back to you. But yeah. See, silly.
Imagine like a Mountain Goat song that used like this sort of song structure.
It's called Escape.
A Mountain Goat song that's called, Oceanographer's Choice, brackets, a guy in a skeleton costume, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just like two ridiculous things.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like everyone's going to look up your song by the parentheses thing anyway, so
yeah.
Just go with that.
Yeah, I suppose, it's at the end of the day, we're all slaves to the search engine optimizations.
Not even, think of 1800s paintings. Their titles were literally, just describing what is in the painting.
Yeah,
they
boy
were
with
like,
apple.
Yeah, woman holding basket. Like, and it's like, ah, great, I know what this painting's
That's
about.
What it says on the tin.
Yeah, there you go.
But folks, we're going to talk about the Olympics for the final time. I know we've been talking about them a lot.
Well, for like 2-3 weeks, because
Because it's news. Because it's news that we can talk about, and it's fun news. So it's perfect fodder. We've got one last little, a bit of content we can wring out of the Paris Games, which was the closing ceremonies, which once again... it seems like France has to borrow American celebrities and American stars.
This is what I was wondering.
Just like in the opening ceremonies.
Was the opening ceremonies like French celebrities and then the closing ceremony was American celebrities to like pass it on? Is that how it normally happens?
I don't think so, because there were Americans in the opening ceremony.
Okay, because I was looking at the list of performers for the closing ceremonies and I was like, these are all Americans. Like, France has no famous people? Like, you couldn't find anybody?
No.
The only opening
Just like the
closing...
Charlie Hebdo guys who are going to draw some cartoons, but then that got postponed. For some reason, I don't know.
The only opening closing ceremonies I even recall whatsoever is the London ones from 2012.
What? You don't remember the Beijing ones?
No. I don't usually watch
Everyone
them.
Was scared.
I don't know.
It was scary.
But those were all British musicians. And this time I feel like it was all Americans. But Tom Cruise was there.
Phoenix was there.
Oh, they're French.
They're French.
Okay.
Yeah.
That counts then. One check mark. Maybe there was other ones in just all the news articles that I'm reading only talked about the uber famous people who are all American.
Who's to
but,
say?
But Tom Cruise jumped off the roof and carried the little Olympic flag and then rode it on a motorcycle. And then they cut to a thing they had already filmed where he's in Los Angeles with it. So... he was kind of like a little flag bearer.
Thank you, Tom Cruise. Represent the entire city of LA, which
makes sense.
Yeah,
he's
the
most famous guy.
Famous movie star with a dark and sordid past.
Yeah,
is a pretty good summation
of
LA.
Los Angeles itself.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tom. He was looking a little old, which is totally fair because he's old.
Mm-hmm.
He still looks extremely young for his age.
Trying to take him to the glue factory, you were saying.
I think that they aged him down in the Top Gun movie because now he looks kind of old.
Yeah, they weren't using the movie magic on the Olympic
Yeah, I was like, okay, you're not going to airbrush this poor man's wrinkles? Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Adrenochrome levels are at an all-time low in France. You just can't get the supply.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to play a song that was in the closing ceremonies.
Yes, another thing which is driving me wild here, which is, okay, so we're playing Kavinsky Night Call, classic track. We've definitely played this on the show before.
Really?
Because this is the song from Drive.
Okay.
Which is a great Ryan Gosling film. This song, just recently, because it was used in the closing ceremonies, became the most Shazammed song in a single day of all time. It just broke the record.
Wow.
To which I say, people of the world, have you not seen Drive? Are you not real human beings? As the song goes, not this song, but another song on that soundtrack goes, you need to be listening to the Drive soundtrack all the time. Okay. I want, at the next Olympics, I want everyone showing up in scorpion jackets.
Yeah.
Just to show that they've, like, paid their nickel.
Sounds good. Ryan Gosling stands. Rise up.
That's right. So, yeah, anyway, here is Kavinsky, Night Call.
Ember alert in effect. The Sûreté du Québec, SQ, have requested an Amber Alert on August 26, 2024. Victim 1 Getty Shy GAO, boy, East Southeast Asian. Suspect 1 Ruxu Yang, 65 years old, female. Suspect vehicle is a 2024 white Tesla 3-4-door automobile license plate GVMK536, Ontario. Last seen in Longueuil, Quebec. If observed, call 911 https://amberalert.op.ca.
Alerte tombée en vigueur en Ontario. La Sûreté du Québec, SQUAR, a demandé une alerte tombée pour le 26 août 2024. Victime un Getty Shy GAO, garçon, asiatique de l'Est / Sud-Est. Suspect Ruxu Yang, 65 ans, femme. Le véhicule du suspect est une Tesla 3. 4 portes blanches de 2024, immatriculé G, V, M, K, 5, 3, 6, Ontario. Vu pour la dernière fois à Longueuil, Québec. Si vous êtes observé, appelez le 911-https://ambralaire.op.ca. We'll be right back.
Folks, hello and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Tops with their song Sunday Morning. That's a brand spanker right there. Before that, we heard Glitter Party with their song Other Side. And right at the top, we heard Kavinsky with Night Call. Bow, bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow, bow. From the closing ceremonies.
That's right.
We watched Suspiria,
yes.
2018.
Yes.
I've never seen the original, so I can't compare.
I honestly didn't know anything about this movie really going in. We had watched a scene of it for film class one time. I don't know who the director is. Dakota Johnson.
It's Luca Call Me By Your Name.
Oh,
Challengers guy.
Really, that guy?
Yes.
Okay. That was not Challengers. We just watched.
Guadagnino.
Sure.
Nino. I'm sorry, Italians.
But yeah,
I'm
folks, Mia Goth is in this. Dakota Johnson is in this.
Yes.
Tilda Swinton is in this.
Yes.
They're all doing fine.
I think the performances were really good, in my humble opinion. I just think that the script was not that good. I don't know.
Also, note, we have not seen the original Suspiria, which is definitely a sin.
Apparently, they are not related. Like, they're very different movies, very different themes, etc. There's, like, I was reading other Letterboxd reviews because I came out of it being like, okay, that was okay, but not my favorite. And there's some stans who are like, oh, this movie is really great. Like, there's so many themes that he, like, delves into. It's so,
there's
like,
many themes,
moody.
But, yeah,
and
I don't
then
know if
the,
it really...
the detractors are like, there's a lot of themes. Like, it's too many themes.
But, yeah,
and
I don't,
there's
I don't
a lot
know if
of
it,
subplots.
It really coalesces into anything.
Yeah, it just feels like he was like, I heart themes. Here we go. Like, Berlin, World War II, the Holocaust, dancing, motherhood, women. I was like,
yeah,
there's
witches,
so much going on here. Yeah, but... yeah, I don't know if it came together how I wanted it to come together.
Yeah,
but
like
I will say it was really long and it didn't feel that long. Like, it did... even though it was, like, quite moody, not a lot of dialogue, it still moved quickly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It keeps your attention.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a lot of montage, which definitely helps with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was all right.
I feel like worth a watch, but not, like, wow.
Yeah, some
amazing
of, like,
the
cool, like,
anything.
Satanic ritual stuff is cool, but... I don't know. Like, it feels like he wants to build to more of a, like, you know... not even patriarchy, but just, like, women-led societies versus, like, the war and, like, the male-led societies. But it doesn't really, like, paint them as very distinct. Like, the coven is still very hierarchical and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't even... grasp that was what he was going
for.
Yeah,
but again, like, that's one of, like, 12 things that he's going for, you know? Like, it's just sort of...
Yeah, I think someone who was a fan of the movie whose review I was reading was talking about, like, oh, what an interesting, like, plot where it's that, like, a coven of witches who run a dance studio are, like, forced underground during World War II, and then that creates, like, these really toxic dynamics amongst the witches. And I was like, yeah, that is a really cool, like... concept, but I feel like that's not even delved into that much. Like, they do a few
but like
scenes
also
on
like,
it,
what kind of, like, you know, not that like this, like, you know, not that this is the end of the world, but like these, like, Satan worshiping human sacrificing witches were, like, driven underground by the Nazis because the Nazis didn't like them. Like, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot going on in the movie, and then the ending is kind of like they tie together some plot points that were not even really big plot points in the film. It was like a side plot that had like two scenes, and then they end the film like resolving that. And like, what about the main plot of the movie? Not important, I guess. Like, anyway, it was a little.
But yeah, Suspiria, folks, go. I don't know. Check her out.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah,
the first scary scene is really scary, and then the rest of it is not that scary. But the first scene was like, and it was also one of those things where you kept thinking that body horror was going to happen because they would, like, zoom in on people's, like, feet or hands or something, but then it didn't. But it was really scary the whole time. I was like, ah. But anyway,
Anyway, folks, we've got Portishead coming up next. Their album Dummy is 30 years old this week. So let's listen to Glory Box. Here we go. Last track on the record.
Girls to play, for I've been a temptress. Yeah.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake-Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Post-War Blues by Dan Man Gan. Before that, we heard Matty J with I'm the Leader. And at the top, we heard Portishead with Glory Box.
Okay, I have a story that's going to make Dean so mad. This is like a perfect story to get Dean upset.
Nice.
So, are we ready?
I'm excited.
And also, you're on Twitter, so maybe you've already seen this. I have no idea. But CNN reported as of recording yesterday, so on Saturday, that the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle has like a little placard up right now that is thanks to a guest curator. So a guest curator has come in and done a little guest exhibit or something.
Little pop culture.
I'm going to read you the first sentence of this placard. So the title is The 27 Club. Kurt Cobain unalived himself. I know.
You can't. That's in a museum.
Yeah, it's in a
museum. They put that on like that. They like printed that on like a placard.
On a placard.
That's not good.
I know.
Oh no.
So interesting.
Oh,
interesting,
man.
But context: they do have a second placard that explains why they use the word "unalived" Cobain's death. So I'll just read you this other placard.
Yeah.
We recognize the dynamic nature of pop culture and its role in shaping language and social discourse. In the digital age, social media influences how online communities engage in discussions, particularly around sensitive topics like mental health. One example is the term unalive, which has emerged online to describe death by suicide or homicide. Users on social media platforms created this term to navigate around algorithms that censor content related to mental health and explicit topics.
See, I've always heard that's the reason, but TikTok doesn't actually have any censors for the phrase kill yourself or anything like that. So it's literally like, it's some sort of collected delusion that TikTok users have had where they like convince themselves that that's the phrase they have to use.
So this plaque goes on to say that they chose to use that word out of gesture of respect towards those that have tragically lost their lives. But the CNN article actually addresses this because it sort of originally started as like a thing to get around censors, but it's just become the word that young people use to say that someone died, which is, they argue, is like similar to how we say passed away or something. Like, there's a lot of...
Right, but I don't like passed away either.
There's a lot of
Kurt Cobain did not pass himself away.
Shush. There's a lot of softened euphemisms for talking about death, and they're talking about, like, the article goes on to say, like, similar to things that we would have said as kids. Like, it just is sort of a gateway for kids to be able to talk about death in a way that they're still, like, kind of comfortable with, so they can start to address like heavier topics. But then other people are saying, well, it actually gives this word so much more power if you're like never gonna say it, but it's sort of taken on a life outside of just TikTok. Like, it's
and
just
like again
a,
like
a
this
word,
further infantilization of culture that like you
I knew you were gonna get mad
like
at
it's
that,
ridiculous but. That like, oh well, you know, this is how like babies say goo goo gaga, so it's actually really important that we be saying
well,
goo goo gaga.
You don't always say the most harsh term for something right away, I guess, but I do think it's a little silly.
I like
that
the euphemisms that go like the other way that make it like even worse, like saying someone bit it or is like worm food or something.
Oh gosh, yeah. So anyway, sorry for the heavy topic, everybody, but I just thought that was wild that it's in a museum. It's not a permanent exhibit, but
okay. Well, I'm gonna unalive this segment here and play Nobody's Soldier, New Hozier. He gave this quote where he was like, "Oh, I put out Too Sweet," and I was like, "That's the most fun song that I've put out like ever. Like it's such like a interest, like bright, like fun little song. I have to do an anti-war song now."
There you go.
That's
thanks,
right,
Soldier.
Sir. Thank you.
Oh, be a no circle back so you can take my hand and just get attached. Just don't know. Sometimes I find it hard to go with the flow. There've been some times that I've had way too much, and sometimes I just need someone to touch. So you can take my hand. Just get attached.
Folks, hello, welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Something Soon by Car Seat Headrest. Before that, we heard the Elwins with Hey, Yeah, You. And before that, we heard Hozier with a brand spanker called Nobody Soldier. Pardon me, folks. We watched Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah, sorry. Movie segment number two.
90s Australian
movie
comedy. That's like kind of fun. It's like a family drama. It's Muriel, folks. She wants to get married, but she's sort of this like frumpy lady who like lives with her parents
and has no job.
Yeah, none of her siblings are employed either,
and all her friends hate her.
And yeah, and like no one likes her.
Yeah, so this is Toni Collette, by the way, Queen yes. icon. So she moves to Sydney and she starts a new life. And it's funny for maybe like the first 30 minutes. And
it's
then
funny just looking at these goofy Australians, mostly.
The rest of the movie. Yeah, I told my mom I watched Muriel's Wedding, and she's like, oh, not that movie. Because apparently in the 90s, everyone was like, it was billed as a comedy, and then you go, and spoilers for a 1994 movie, Muriel's Wedding. But, like, people get cancer, her family members die. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit of a downer, I would say.
It kind of is.
But, I don't know. Some of the jokes were very funny, especially like right when she moves to Sydney. There's some good jokes with her and her friend. But
and just watching a movie, like even, you know, like an Australian, like, you know, I don't think this movie costs a lot of money. Like low budget, like comedy drama thing. And then there's takes where like you watch a car pull in through the window and then like you zoom out to see the people in the room like reacting to the car pulling in.
Yeah.
And like that's like literally impossible today. Like the car would be on a green screen. Like you wouldn't have like two different things happening in two different planes of the frame at once anymore. Like that, it just feels like that's everything shot like a TV show now, like the flattest lighting, the most boring possible way. And there was like that was like maybe the last heyday where like cheapo movies like that.
Yeah, 90s movies are amazing.
Were like still
movies.
Had like some sort of cinematic merit
yeah.
to them.
What I just liked is that this is like, I feel as though they don't put people with flaws in movies anymore unless it's a Coen Brothers movie and they're a side character or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, all the characters had, like, really yellow, terrible teeth. Like, they just looked like normal levels of pretty.
Yeah.
Or they looked a little ugly. And they were characters, and it was nice. And they were cast in this movie. I feel like even with, like, low-budget movies now, it's like a Hallmark movie where everyone is, like, really boring
yeah,
hot.
And everyone has, like, Instagram face.
Yeah. So that was just refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bit of a downer. I'm not gonna lie. It was a sad movie. But it was still good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, no, like, the whole time we were just like, this woman's mother needs to have some sort of Carrie style.
Yeah, we wanted the mom to, like, you know,
to like, blow up people's heads with her mind.
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, so
zero
out of 10, unfortunately.
Yeah, justice for Muriel's mom.
That's right.
That's my hill I'm going to die on.
Up next, folks, we've got Garmonbozia by Flying Lotus, which is a funky little track here that we love to pronounce. We'll be right back.
inside of this dream. Red moon, your flaws, your way.